So this is our first time we've had a vice president set the timer,
wow.
Mike.
It's getting serious, isn't it? It's getting serious. Let's check. Yeah, it looks
good.
Did
you do it right?
It's lightly ticking. I can't quite tell. We'll see.
Let's go with it.
All right. So, Amitabh, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You do have a last name.
Wait. I want to see if I remember it from just
okay,
a minute ago.
Try.
Srivastava.
Wow. See, nobody has been able to do that in the first try. This is
wow.
amazing.
Good. Thank you.
It's amazing.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. And you're the corporate vice president of...
Cloud Infrastructure Services.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh.
Very interesting. So let's start with how you got to where you are.
Okay.
I'm curious about your background a little bit, how you got to Microsoft, what you do at Microsoft.
I came to Microsoft in 1997. I joined Microsoft Research. My background has been mostly in research.
Really?
I'd worked at Digital and TI before. I'd done a startup. I joined research. I was running the Programmer Productivity Research Center, and then I was the VP of Development for Vista.
Wow.
And after Vista shipped, I'm working for Ray Ozzie on the services side.
Excellent. So I didn't know about the MSR connection, did you?
No.
That's fascinating to me. So I'm just curious, you know, quickly, what kind of projects you worked on?
Most of my background has been in software development tools.
Mm-hmm.
And the main approach was, can you use advanced technologies to automate software development processes? So we built a lot of tools which are used, you know, very broadly internally for finding security bugs, you know, to help people write better code. And we used a lot of those tools in Vista, Office, you know, across a lot of our products there. So basically the idea is that can you use static checking
mm-hmm.
And static analysis to look at the source code and find errors which developers make and just remove them. And so that, you know, we develop much, much more, you know, reliable and secure code there.
Very cool.
That's really cool.
We're actually going to have Rick Rashid, who's going to be a keynote speaker at PDC.
Hi.
And MSR is always one of the very popular keynotes because people just love to see what's coming out of research.
Yes.
But... you've moved on from MSR, and what you're doing now, you and your team are going to have a large presence at PDC this year, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. PDC is very special for our team, you know, because we've sort of been heads down, sort of like, this has been a kind of like a stealth project, and PDC, and PDCs are really our coming out party. For the first time externally, we're going to be, you know, talking about some of the things that we have been working on mm-hmm. in the whole of the services space.
Mm-hmm.
So, most of my team is going to be there. All the key people who have been working on it will be there. And you can easily identify them. You know, just look at their shoes. Here's
shoes.
A hint.
Ooh.
Just look at the shoes.
Ooh.
If you look at the shoes, you'll find out who are the people working on my team.
Oh.
That's fascinating. I love it. It's almost like our hard hat challenges, but for shoes. Right?
I like it.
I love the
intrigue.
It doesn't
come true until the PDC.
So wait, a stealth project. This is really interesting. How long? Can we say how long you've been working on the stealth project? I mean, is it
well,
a while?
It's been since Vista shipped.
Okay.
So you can do that. And, you know, I think it's going to be pretty cool. These are, you know, various foundational services that we have been looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think... I hope the developers are going to, you know, like them, and I think with the whole core set of teams being there, it's going to be a very nice interaction, and we're looking for a lot of feedback, too, and
mm-hmm.
so I think it'll be a very good chance for us to preview some of the stuff we're doing, get feedback on, you know, how it's received, and so
mm-hmm.
that we can go really build the right product which the customers mm-hmm. want.
So I know a question I have as a developer. I've been developing for a while. I know you have as well, too, Jennifer.
Of course.
But I had a, just if you take services, the concept, this notion that there's some service available somewhere else as a developer or as an architect was a little bit of a challenge mentally for me at first because I didn't understand what that really meant concretely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm used to, you know, if you show me a laptop, it's got things in it that I can take
yes.
advantage of that are very local. You know, over time, network cables allow
yes.
me to take some of that and put it in a server rack somewhere and leverage that using some different things. And services now are kind of just out there.
That's right.
And, that mental transition, I'd like to just think of it as a longer cable. you know, what does services mean to a developer or an architect?
I completely agree the point you're making, and especially for me personally, I came also from a packaged software world,
mm-hmm.
and it took me several months to completely do this change in this mindset. Mm-hmm. And it's very different, right? I mean, the challenges in the whole of the services world is very different. The one of the things that strike you way early on is like the requirements for availability and reliability are way higher than ever before. You know, like trying to achieve like 4 nines or availability there, it allows only so very short time of downtime over the whole year.
It's literally single digit hours.
Hours, that's right. It is exactly. And so it's a very, very remarkable level of availability and reliability that you have to go back and achieve to really get there. So when you're developing the whole of the services thing, that you have to develop with the concept of they're always live, they're always online. How do you really go back and develop them? And mentally, that you have to, how you program against them is also a switch that you have to really go back and make there. And those were the things that we really wanted to grasp them first, to really understand that and internalize them, that how can we make the life of a developer much, much simpler and easier to really go back and develop those services. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's going to be very interesting to see, how it really gets used there. The second thing with the services world which offers is that it allows us the capability to convert common things like storage and computation and things like that into a utility, right? Nobody now owns a machine. Nobody buys a machine anymore. Mm-hmm. It's a consumption-based model. You use the resources and you pay for what you use. Mm-hmm. And the services world kind of like, enforces that. And it's utility based model enables a whole slew of different business models, different way of how you will build a business or even your startup, and it's very interesting. This is a very, very interesting space to do that. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. When you say utility, yes. Am I thinking like the electric companies?
That's exactly right.
Turn the lights on and it's there, and you pay for your usage.
Yeah. Right. So we like just like utility, like electricity. Like we don't know what Puget Sound generators, which Puget Sound is using, right? There's a contract that we got to get these things. We use it, and Puget Sound builds
it. Certain level of service agreement that you have.
That we have. There's an SLA.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's a contract. There's an SLA that we are that the Puget Sound meets, and you just bill it. Same thing with water, electricity, right? That you just based on the consumption. We don't care how they are actually producing that. That's their problem, whether it's hydro or whether it's generators or whether it's coal. We don't care. Mm-hmm. But they give us under an SLA, and we do that. Same thing that can be done is like, hey, the service, nobody really cares of how am I getting the computation on. Is it a VM? Am I getting a whole machine? Am I getting 1/10 of a machine? But I'm getting under an SLA, the storage capacity, the computation, and whatever I'm using, a bandwidth, and then I'm just paying for what I use.
Right.
And there is no huge upfront cost that you're paying.
That's where that availability point comes into play,
That's right. That's right, exactly. And then everybody, if you're really betting your business on it, you want your service to be available, your business to be available. So that's why the availability is very, very high because nobody wants their availability to go down. For example, even if you're patching your service or an OS is being upgraded, you can't bring the service down. Mm-hmm. And so availability becomes an extremely, extremely high bar for you to go back. But in the services space, if you wanted to do something there, you had to buy a machine, you had to buy space, cooling, all of those things to do that. And here now in the services space there, you just get it, what you need, and you pay for for whatever you use.